We got a great God. And he gave us a great spirit. And that's what we'll share on a little bit today. We have something wonderful inside of us, something powerful and something just spectacular. And we're going to learn to go through a little of that. So how about we turn to Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 1 through 11. This is Jesus Christ talking here. It says, this is about him. Verse 1, it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Oh boy, that's scary. "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.'" That word in verse 1 says tempted of the devil. That means he was trying to entice him. He was trying to test him, to scrutinize him. And, you know, it says he was fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was after hunger. He was a little needy, you know. But then the devil tries to question him. Like, he wants him to think, or gets him to doubt, if he really is the Son of God. Which, you know, we all read the chapter before probably, and we know that he doesn't do that. But here's what Jesus Christ does. "But he answered and said, 'You know, you might be right, because I didn't get anything to eat for 40 days, so no. 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.'" And that was from John, Deuteronomy 8. Anyway, I wanted to read that. Keep your thumb or your finger in this, and go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Oh, I lost it. 6, 8. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and in verse 1 it says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness," talking about the children of Israel, right? "To humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he," verse 3, "humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee known that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now you can come back. But God wants us to remember his word, and that's what Jesus did there. He remembered what God put in his word, you know, so he could go against these things, so that he can come out a conqueror, more than a conqueror. So that didn't work. Didn't work, you know, the devil trying to get him to doubt. Verse 5 says, "Then," let's try something else, "the devil taketh him into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God," again trying to get him to doubt, "cast thyself down, for it is written." Now the devil's quoting scripture. Uh-oh, that's not good. "He shall give the angels charge concerning thee, and in their hand shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone." And that's from Psalm 91:12. You can read it sometime if you don't believe me. Verse 7, "Jesus said unto him," it is what?
Written
again. "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." That's from Deuteronomy 6:16, in case you were wondering. Again, so that didn't work. "Again the devil taketh him up," verse 8, into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And in this great wonderful verse here, verse 11, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. And so what a sweet thing that God did for him. He sent angels to minister to him and to take care of him. And we, as God's kids, have that spirit inside of us all the time. Every second of every day, we have that great power. And all God is asking us to do is to remember what, you know, he put in his word so that we can do these things that Jesus Christ did. If you go to 1 John chapter 4, there's a wonderful record here. And we'll start in verse 1. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So there's plenty of false prophets, there's plenty of distractions in this world to keep us busy for a long time. But, you know, like I said, we have God's spirit in us. We have that to take care of these situations. Verse 2 says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of who? God. God. So that we know, that's good. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So there's definitely these problems in the world that are sent around to hinder us and to deter us from doing God's word. But look at this. Again, God has the answer, like he always does. It says, ye are of God, little children. And that happened to us when we believe Romans 10, 9, and 10. Right? Remember? Remember that? But it says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that word overcome is wonderful. It means it's subdued, it conquered, it prevailed, and it means you get the victory. So because we have this spirit, we get the victory over these not so good spirits, evil spirits, whatever you want to call them. So, you know, we got this great spirit on us. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. See? That proves it. The little ding. Verse 5, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. It makes it simple. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We can know that because God gave us his spirit. We can tell right from wrong, good from evil, because of God's spirit. Where am I? Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And that word knoweth is genosko, right? Throwing some Greek at you today. Know by experience. We know God by experience. We know the things that he's done for us and the things he wants to keep doing for us. Wonderful, marvelous works that he gives us. And in Matthew chapter 5, these are called, I think they're called the Beatitudes, right? Matthew 5. And we are going to read from verse 1 to 16. It says, and seeing the multitudes, this is Jesus Christ, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And these are, you can, you know, look through in the Old Testament. It's all in there what he's saying. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be, what?
Filled.
So if you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, what can God do for you? He can fill you. And this is a great one. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain what?
Mercy.
So if you're merciful, guess what you're going to get? More mercy. More wonderfulness from our Heavenly Father. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And as I was reading this, I was thinking, this is us, you know. We are all these things to God, and He wants all these wonderful things for us. Blessed, verse 9, are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which persecute for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom. But blessed are which are persecuted, for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And we are that light because we have God's Spirit. We are that light to the world because, you know, as we read before, you know, It's a pretty dark place. It's full of not good things. But because of us, because of that Spirit, we're the light of it. And we shed the light up for these people who are in need. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And that's, again, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. We have God's great Spirit in us and his great goodness in us. Go to 3 John. And we will read verse 2 to 4. It says here, beloved, verse 2, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. And then that word prosper is wonderful. It says help on the road, or a good journey, or to succeed in business affairs. So, beloved, I wish above all things that you have all these, that greatness, that you have that, you succeed in the things you're going to do in life. Even as thy soul prospereth. For, verse 3, I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. And in this wonderful verse, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That's God's great joy, is that we walk in his truth, that we walk in knowing that we can overcome, you know, the evilness of the world, or the really not so good things of the world. That's his joy, that we walk in it. If you would like to, you can turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter 5, and we'll start in verse 6. Where is it? There it is. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And that word humble basically means that we got to understand that God knows more than us, that we don't know anything compared to what he knows. And he wants us to be humble about it. In verse 7, it says, casting some of your care upon him. No. He careth for you. No. He says, casting all your care upon him. And that word care, it could mean, you know, anxiousness too, but it mean what I saw from the Greek interlinear text. No. It means distractions. So casting all your care, your distractions upon him, for he cares for you. God wants our cares. He wants every one of our cares, no matter what they are, big or small. He wants them, and he wants to take care of them for us. Verse 8. Now here again, he tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whoa, that could be scary, couldn't it? If we don't have God's spirit, yeah, that's scary. But we have God's spirit. And we don't have to fear any of this. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's what God says. Be sober and vigilant means to watch and be awake. And remember that greater is he than that is in you than he that is in the world. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And I wanted to read, since Connie went to the working translation last week, I wanted to. No, and then this is all really, you know, what Connie shared last week about renewing our minds. That's basically it. Putting God's word in there instead of the distractions of the world. But anyway, in the WT, verse 10, it says, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory, not our eternal glory, because without him we don't have any, in Christ, after that ye have suffered a little while, will himself fully equip, establish, strengthen you, and give you a firm foundation. And we can't have any firmer of foundation than what God can give us. He's the firmest of the foundations. And in verse... Where am I? Verse 11. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So God wants that glory, and we can give it to him. God's glory is seeing us succeed in all of these wonderful things. If you go to Isaiah chapter 40, we've read this before, but it's such a wonderful section here. 40. Verse 25, we'll start. And this is just really a section to tell us how great and wonderful and all-powerful God is. In verse 25, it says, to whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Is anybody going to be equal with God? No. Can anybody else do the things that God does? No. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. And those are talking about the stars. God knows that every star in the universe, and probably there's probably more somewhere else too, but he knows every one. And you don't think he knows our need, or what we need, or what we're going through? Not one faileth. Why sayest thou, Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from God? Hast thou not known? Why are you doubting? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases. I was thinking about when So to the merciful, what does he give? More mercy. To the faint in heart, he gives power, he gives strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And I added, not be disappointed. We're not going to be disappointed when we go to God and let Him do the work for us. Let Him help us. And then there's this great verse here in chapter 26 that we all know. Isaiah 26:3. It says, thou will keep him in perfect peace. God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Remember Connie shared with us to keep our minds stayed on God so that our minds can be renewed. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And that word stayed means to lean on. What a great mind picture. When we need peace, when we need love, when we need power, when we need anything, we can lean on God. And he'll take care of us. Let's go to Psalm 23. Simple but wonderful psalm here. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside the still waters. When I read that, I think of peace and calmness and tranquility from our Father. He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When Jesus was tempted of the devil, I was basically walking through the valley of the shadow of death. He was right there, and God took care of him. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy follows us because we go to God, because we have Him in us. We have His Spirit. And lastly, here in John chapter 14, John 14:26. It says here, for verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he already sent it to us, right? Okay. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So, basically, we have God's Spirit in us. We have something wonderful inside of us that always wants to help us, that we can always rely on. And, God wants us to remind each other and remind ourselves of it and to just keep going to His Word. Okay?